Savior, and we thank you. And so we bless your holy name. Speak a word now for us again, a word of hope and a word of love, a word of joy and peace, and fill our hearts and our minds and our souls today. Have mercy upon us, Lord God. Have mercy upon our nation. Have mercy upon the world. We are in need of mercy, Lord God, and you grant it freely. And then, beyond mercy, you grant us grace, unmerited favor. And we thank you. Bless us, Lord God, as we go through all the things that life presents us. Yet in the midst of it, we can rejoice in knowing you. And take hold of me, the preacher, and put me under submission to your holy will. And let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, because you are our refuge and our strength. You are our Savior and our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
And my sermon title today is, Here I Am, Lord. Here I, and do you know, friends, that one of the songs recommended for this Advent Sunday is, Here I Am, Lord.
Amen.
Right? Here I Am, Lord, because truly, this is for Mary and Elizabeth, but truly for Mary, it is a Here I Am, Lord moment. Amen? Now, remember the words of that song. I'll just, the first verse of that song. You know, that song is said to have been written by a Roman Catholic Jesuit, I believe. Dan Schutte, I think it's his name is. And he wrote this, and this song is well loved by many Roman Catholics and everybody, a lot of other folks. And they, and some of them have said, I've read a little thing about it, that several of them have said they're just so tired of hearing it. Because it is a call on your life, right? But more overall, it is very popular, right? And the writer, the songwriter says that. And the words say, it says, I, the Lord of sea and sky, I have heard my people cry, all who dwell in dark and sin, my hand will save, that he will save us. I who made the stars of night, I will make their darkness bright. Who will bear my light to them? Whom shall I send?
Amen.
And then the chorus says, Here I am, Lord. Is it I, Lord? I have heard you calling in the night. I will go, Lord. If you lead me, I will hold your people in my heart. Amen?
Amen.
What a wonderful, wonderful, Amen. Wonderful words. And then there's another verse. There's several verses, but this other verse says, I, the Lord of wind and flame, I will tend the poor and lame. I will set a feast for them. My hand will save. Always in every verse is my hand will save. God will save us no matter what we're going through. Finest bread I will provide till their hearts be satisfied. I will give my life to them. Whom shall I send? This is a promise of Jesus Christ, promise of Christmas, huh? Promise of him coming into the world. Here I am, Lord. Is it I, Lord? Each and every one of us have to ask that question for ourselves, right? Is it I, Lord? I have heard you calling in the night. I will go, Lord. If you lead me, I will hold your people in my heart. Amen? And Amen. So he would, these words certainly touches our, should touch our hearts and soul. And the writer said, the composer of this hymn and song, he said he has got mostly positive reactions for on reception of Here I Am, Lord. And it has continued to consistently be sung since its premiere in 1979 and its publication in 1981. Even as a file of letters, he has received praise in the song. And then he writes what I just said earlier, that he has got people who complain, and they're just tired of hearing it. But he says, one of my favorites came from an army captain serving in Afghanistan. The captain wrote that the troops would gather in a field for mass near where they were fighting, and their chaplain would lead them in singing, "Here I am, Lord." The servicemen and women who had grown up with the song could all sing it by heart. And we stand there in this awful place where we are asked to serve our country but fear for our own lives, and we sing, "Here I am, Lord." Mr. Shooter recalled the captain saying, "We stand in this awful place where we fear for our lives, yet we would sing, 'Here I am, Lord.'"
Amen.
And what it tells us that life doesn't have to be perfect for us to say, "Here I am, Lord." Right? It doesn't have to say. And Mary's words today from that Luke text, right, the first gospel reading, is when we read about the birth of Jesus foretold. We read, and we were just read to us beautifully, that Mary didn't expect any of this. Mary was a poor girl from a backwater town called Nazareth. She didn't know any of this, didn't expect. She wasn't top of the line. She wasn't, you know, based on human understandings and how human beings decide. She wasn't no society person. You know, she didn't have all that money and all that education. God is like that, isn't God? God will use the least of us, right? If we're willing to say, "Here I am, Lord." And so here it is, the angel Gabriel appears, right? And then says to her, Mary was perplexed at his words, because he came to say, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." And Mary's wondering, "Why am I favored? Who am I to be favored? And why?" And she was perplexed, right? And then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." Now, friends, may I say something? When God tells you have found favor, remember, favor is going to come with what? Exactly. It's going to come with a price. Exactly. Susan just said, going to come with a price. Favor never comes just by itself. God doesn't just give favor. Favor comes with an expectation. There's a cost to discipleship, a cost to favor, right? Happens to all of us, right? And now you will receive, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus, and he will be great. And he's telling poor Mary this. Can you imagine how Mary's trembling, right? Here's what the angel says. "He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David." Can you imagine? Because listen, the children of Israel was waiting forever for what? A king like David to come. So this poor girl from this little town, uneducated, not brilliant, yet what happens? Here it is. He's telling her this, and you could see the weight of this must be upon her, right? And that's why she would. And then he says, "And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there would be no end." I would, at that moment when they told me that, I probably would faint. Because I would say to God, "You want to do what? You want to do all of this through me? This is what you want to do, Lord, me?" And Mary said to the angel, "How can this be? How can this be, God?" Mary says, "Since I am a virgin, how can this be? Not only am I a virgin, I'm a poor virgin, God. Poor virgin, I'm not married, and that is very important in that community." And the angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you." I mean, more perplexed she's going to get, because she's never heard anybody in her village pregnant from the Holy Spirit. That wasn't going around in Bethlehem. You know, such and such is pregnant. Mrs. Joan is pregnant. And guess who gave her a baby? The Holy Spirit. That wasn't happening, right? "And the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And you will have a son." Right? And he will call. And then he tells her. And then he says, "And now your relative Elizabeth, who is also old in age, has also conceived and has a son. And this is the 6th month of her barrenness." So Mary's getting a lot of stuff. And then Mary said, "Here I am. Here am I," she says. "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." After she heard all that, you know, friends, if God was to tell us all the things coming ahead of us, I don't think many of us would say, "Here I am, servant of the Lord." Many of some of us would say, "Well, Lord, could you find somebody else? I don't think I'm right for the job." You know, when the Lord tells you, "God, this is going to happen, and that is going to happen, and that is going to..." Because the one thing in there that would got Mary very scared was that she would be pregnant and not married. Because that was what? That could have you stoned to death. Right? So if God says, well, Marjorie, I want you to do A, B, C, D, and you could die, you know, death could come. He could say, "Lord, could you find somebody? Maybe you could find Nancy, Lord. You know, maybe she'll play the music and she'll do whatever. And you just leave me out because I really want to live." Because in essence, Mary knew that nobody's going to believe her. Who's going to believe Mary? That the Holy Spirit, you know. Joseph even had a problem believing Mary. We all know the story. Friends, Mary, let's talk a little bit about Mary. We don't worship Mary here, but Mary is important. The archives of history and the echoes of ancient sermons never quite knew what to do with Mary. She has been venerated in shrines, prayed to, worshipped, even some of the great artists like Botticelli and Da Vinci and Michelangelo and Raphael and Bellini and Dali, and thousands of artists have imagined her on canvas, right? Because she has just held their hearts, right? You know, Caravaggio, I think, is one of them, has imagined her on canvas. For some traditions, Mary is an afterthought. For some traditions, she's just an afterthought, a means to an end, right? That Jesus had to be born and she's a means to an end. She is really discussed other than to occupy a figure in the setup of an annual creche. So some churches, only Mary is there because it's what? Baby Jesus has to be born. And then in other places, the dominant understanding of Mary is of a young woman who played a noble role and of giving birth to Jesus. She does her duty alongside Joseph and then fades into the background. For many of us, she fades into the background. But we are all hoping and probably praying that we are more like Mary. We should hope and probably pray that we are more like Mary. Because we're certainly not more like Christ. We're trying to be like Christ, but we are more like Mary. Because Mary is human like us. So the first thing that happens here, as I said before, Mary's favor. Luke tells us that Mary had found favor with God. Mary had found favor. And when God gives you favor, be ready to roll up your sleeve, right? Roll up your pants leg, whatever it is, and get ready for a roller coaster ride. Because favor is going to be like a roller coaster ride. What does it mean to be favor? Mary is about to become very unfavored soon. She's going to be very unfavored because what? She's going to get pregnant and is unmarried. But the Lord is with us. Remember what the word says. The Lord will be with you. No matter what happens, the Lord is with you. And then the next point is Mary at fear. Mary's fear. It is okay to be fearful when God shows up and do things that you not expect. You know, some people says, "Oh, when God speaks to me, I have no fear." Not true. Whether you say it or you feel it in your heart, you're fearful because things happen with God that you don't expect, you don't want. And many of us who serve God all our life, we expect that nothing bad will happen to us or our families or our loved ones. But that is not true. It's not true at all. The fact is, though, that God will be with us. You see, Mary was fearful because the angel Gabriel said to her, "Do not be afraid." The angel knew her heart. She didn't have to say it. She didn't say, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, I'm so afraid." She didn't speak it, but he knew. He knew what was going to face Mary, and he knew that she bringing forth the Jewish Messiah was going to cause fear in her heart. You, an unknown girl from an unknown place, is going to do this very thing. But again, the words of the Gabriel, the Lord will be with you. All right? And then Mary's question. You know, when God comes and speaks to us, we do have a question, don't we? Anybody says they don't question God, that's another untrue. We question God. Sometimes the question is, why God? Why me? Sometimes the question is, God, haven't I done this before? God, can you just change this? God, when are you going to come through? When are you going to fix it, God? Right? Whatever it may be. That moment, Mary had her question that was nudging her heart. She says, in essence, why me? Me, this little girl, what are you doing? Right? And one writer says, I believe his name is Neely, right? He says, I know why Mary is afraid. It's not that the angel isn't coming. It's that he's already there. Right there in that quiet place, waiting for an answer. So Mary, the angel isn't coming. She didn't get it in a dream that the angel is coming. Nobody called her up. The bishop did not call up and says, guess what, I'm coming to talk to you. Then she could get prepared. The angel was already there and was waiting for an answer. And Mary was fearful, wondering, am I going to give the right or wrong answer? But Mary nods her head in consent, one writer says. And she says, I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your word to me be fulfilled. Isn't that what we want to do when we know that we are in a God moment? When God winks at us and God says, I'm going to use you, Marjorie. I'm going to use you, Natalie. I'm going to use you, Mary. I'm going to use you, Sue. You want to be able, now, even when you're scared and worried and don't know what the next thing is going to be, whatever the problem is going to come into your life. You want to be able to say, I am your servant, Lord. Let it be unto me. Amen? You want to be able to do that. You want to have the strength of Mary, young girl, shaking but what bold. Knowing that what? The Lord will be with her. Philip Yancey, the theologian, says that often a work of God comes with two edges. The work of God comes with two, great joy and great pain. And these are great theologians who have gone through a lot themselves. And in that matter of fact response, Mary embraced both. Right? Great joy and great pain. She, the writer says, she was the first person to accept Jesus on his own terms, regardless of the personal cost. She didn't take a little yellow pad and begin to write down, it's going to cost this, and I can't do this, and what if my family gets sick, and what if I can't go here, and what? She didn't. She embraced it. And then what did Mary do after she embraced it? Oh, the Bible tells us that great Mary song. After she got it, still scared, still worried, we read in that Luke text, Luke 1:46-45. After all this, after her fear and her yes, she breaks into a song. She accepts Christ, right? Her fear isn't gone. And she's going to have pain because we know the resurrection story. We know the Easter Sunday story. We know the crucifixion story, don't we? So we know that Mary was going to have pain. Mary's not going to be exempt of pain. Sometimes one believes that the more you go through is the more God loves you. Right? I know there's a saying that one Jewish writer says. I know Susan is shaking her head. She probably have heard it. That the Jews have suffered so much through the different occupations and all that. And people says God loves them. And one Jewish writer says, I wish he wouldn't love us so much. Right? Because when God calls you and you say yes, things are going to happen. Right? And pain and joy is going to come mixed together. But the beauty of all of that is what? Mary realized that what? That God is going to be with her. The angel Gabriel told us. So she burst out in song. Mary burst into a song because not only has God interrupted her life, but God plans to interrupt the darkness, injustice, and poverty. God was going to use her to do a mighty work. She realized that it was bigger than her. When God calls us so many times, it is bigger than us. If we could just get it. Sometimes we go through suffering because God is showing us something, but He's showing us how to go through it. And the way we go through our suffering as Christian believers can give what? Be a testimony to another person. When we continue to hold on to God's unchanging hands, when we don't know, when we don't understand, can be a testimony for somebody else. Also, it's a testimony to ourselves. To believe, to understand. God plans to redeem all the broken shards of the life that are scattered across the dark world. This God whose favor rests upon her. This God whose love empowers her. This God who chooses to use her. This God is going to turn the entire planet upside down and shake it to its glory through the birth of Jesus from a little woman. Amen. Isn't this an amazing God? God interrupts. God is a way to interrupt our life. Has God ever interrupted anybody's life yet? God has interrupted my life many times and He's interrupting it now. But thanks be to God, He's with me, with us. He interrupts your life for things you don't expect. Right? God's interruptions. God interrupted Mary's very life and her physical body. God interrupted evil through Mary's song. God interrupted the very world through Jesus. What about us? What about you and I? How is God interrupting our lives? I want you to ponder because I'm not taking a testimony to you. How is God interrupting our lives? God is interrupting all of our lives in His own way. Whenever and however God is interrupting you or me, it helps to look at the example of Mary to find strength and to respond. Here I am, Lord. I'm your servant. No matter what happens, here I am, Lord. The first thing you want to do, find God's favor. When God interrupts your life, get down on your knees and find God's favor. Ask God to grant you favor. Whatever you're praying for. Live your life in such a way that God actually chooses to use you to interrupt the brokenness of the world. Live your life in such a way. Then number two, admit your fear. Tell it to God. God, I don't quite get it all. I'm a little bit worried and scared, but I know you're with me. You promised never to leave me alone. Mary admitted her fear. There's no shame in admitting fear. Our dominant culture teaches us to shrink and avoid fear. But there is no shame. The greatest folks in the Bible admitted their fear. And then when you've done that, say yes. Ultimately, we have a decision to make. Do we say yes to what God is asking us? Or do we with our lives... Or do we do whatever we want with our lives and ignore God's interruptions? Friends, we cannot ignore God's interruptions because He'll come again and again when you least expect it. And then after you've done all of that, then sing a song. Sing the song, Nancy. We sing a song. Let us sing a song of what God has done and will do for us. We sing a song that God has brought us through pain and sorrow. God has healed our loved ones before. God has done it and He'll do it again. Whichever way He chooses to do it, we sing a song. And we praise His name. This means that we must tell the story of our fear and our yes. As Christians, we have the great blessings of telling the story of our lives and God's work in our lives. How God brought us through. How God brought our loved one through. That's our song. Because Jesus already come. And on today, as we remember the peace of Christ, He came to give us peace. Not just peace meaning the absence of war, but eternal peace. Whatever we are going through, that peace that surpasses all understanding. You get a diagnosis, or your loved one gets a diagnosis and you're holding on for their life. But guess what? You've got that peace that surpasses all understanding. You can't explain it. People think it's just cliche, but it's not. Because you've handed over to the Lord, like Mary handed over herself to the Lord, and she received that peace. I've experienced that peace, and I thank God for that peace. I've experienced it many times, and I continue to experience it. Thanks be to God for giving us the peace that surpasses all understanding. You can't explain it. You got someone sick and dying, and you're waiting to hear, or someone that's going to raise up, and you're waiting to hear, but that peace of knowing that Christ is with you will reign in your heart and your soul and your mind when you trust Him. So my friends, today I come to tell you about the peace of Christ. Trust in Him. Trust and never let go, and He'll bring you through. Amen.